everybody, this is Chandler.
And this is Chris.
And you're listening to
X-Reads the Podcast.
Guys, we are back with another Halloween special. It's episode 87. And it's exciting to come back every year for Halloween. Though I will say, last year we kind of skipped our Halloween special, Chris.
We did?
Yeah, because the first year we did Uncanny X-Men 159, and that's where Storm and Dracula first meet. And then we covered the X-Men annual number 6, where Dracula comes back for Storm. And then in 2021, we didn't do anything. However, we did do an episode with Bob Quinn in Spooky Limbo. So, I mean, it's Halloween-ish.
But I'm glad we are doing this episode today. And why? Because I personally love What If. Because I love alternate dimensions. I love different types of storylines to see what would happen from a different perspective. And this one today is a treat, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get to see what would happen if Storm went full on vamp.
And Wolverine full on vamp too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And all the X-Men full on vamp. Yeah, we will get into it deep, but we're going to be doing What If number 24. It's titled What If Wolverine Became Lord of the Vampires. But before we get into that, how was your Halloween, Chris? Yes.
Well, Chandler, I'm glad you asked. I had a wonderful Halloween. I went to a coworker's house, passed out candy to children. I traumatized a lot of them because I like to jump out from behind corners. But you know what? I had so much fun doing it. And I also went to Halloween Hotness. I was a special guest of honor for this charity event at Madame Tussauds in Hollywood, where they have all the wax figures and everything. Lots of cool costumes. I had a lot of fun. What about you, Chandler? What did you do?
Well, so on Halloween proper, I went trick-or-treating with my nieces and dressed up like a pirate because it's cold in Minnesota and I wanted to wear a jacket and layers and gloves. So I went trick-or-treating with them and it was delightful and I ate too much candy. And then...
Did you dress up like Kitty Pryde? Don't lie.
I know, right? Captain Kate Pryde. Basically, I mean, that I've got that cosplay, so I just made it into a pirate costume. And oh my gosh, but like I want to say like all the Halloween things I did this month leading up to Halloween were super fun. So pumpkin carving with the family. I went to the Griffith Park Haunted Hayride when I was in Los Angeles.
Oh, the LA Haunted Hayride. That's a popular thing to do in LA.
Yeah. So I've never done that before. And I hated the hayride. I thought that was the dumbest thing I've ever been on. But they have these mazes. And so my client, Carly, she wanted to go. So she bought me a ticket. She's like, let's go. And she was so excited. So we get on the hayride and we're like, oh God, that was so lame. It was not scary. It was not that fun. And we waited in line for 2 hours to get onto the hayride. It was ridiculous.
2 hours.
And we bought VIP tickets to have limited waiting. So if you're a general admission, I don't understand. Anyways, but they have these mazes. And so we went into this first maze, which was a mansion. And it was so scary. Like, I'm a weakling when it comes to scary things. So I was completely terrified and screaming. And at one point, there was a girl that jumped out and scared me. And I just was screaming, I want to get out of here. I want to get out of here. Just like the maze never ended. And I just hated the tense of knowing that somebody could jump around a corner at any moment. And I just was so scared. So that's what I did for Halloween.
You are totally opposite. Like, I love these haunted mazes.
No,
like, get me out of here.
I hate it. I was like, I don't like this. I'm like covering my eyes and just like
and just so you know, audience, like anytime we do these haunted mazes together, I push him to the front and I giggle.
Oh, no, I hate it. Anyways. Oh, and then I want to
that you're gonna get it good.
No, anyways, yeah. I'm the good person to bring to these things because I'm the one that freaks out and then everyone goes, ha, 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 and I'm just like traumatized and like shaking. But I also went to the Magic Castle and they have an enforced costume. thing, and it was a lot of fun. I got to go with our friend Nerd Alert cosplay and Amanda Lynn, and we got to dress up and watch magic, and it was a lot of fun. I really loved it. It was Nerd Alert's first time at the Magic Castle, so I love bringing new people there because just watch their face as they watch the magic happen. They're like just awestruck. You know, it's dumbfounding somehow, like some of the magic that they do in the castle.
I'm like super jealous, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, wait a minute, why the hell wasn't I invited? Hello. But then I remembered I did something really cool this month too, which was I took a trip with one of our past guests, Jennifer Van Deen, who did the Dazzler episode way back in our season one. We went together to Salem, Massachusetts. And I was at home. I loved it. This is the biggest year that Salem ever had for tourism. Over 2 million people went through the town, and they only have like 45,000 people living in that town year round. So you can imagine their economy is just booming. Mm. And if you go there, it is beautiful. Everything was built way back in the day. And every other shop is either a witch shop, you know, with crystal balls and tarot ball or tarot cards and psychic readers, or something else that I noticed is that every other business had a LGBT rainbow flag, like a pride flag in the window. And I'm just like, I'm looking around going like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm home.
That's lovely. I'm so glad. Yeah.
Go there, you guys. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, should take a trip to Salem. I highly recommend it.
Something else that happened recently is we launched the Uncanny Experience.
Oh my God. Why didn't we lead with that? Chandler, that's like, this is like the biggest news in the entire world for us. And we literally were chatting about our Halloween stuff.
Well,
you guys yeah. Back the fuck up. Okay.
I know, we haven't talked about this yet.
I don't say F words that often, but when I do, you know it's a big deal. So let's back the F up here, because you guys, we have an announcement to make on this podcast, which we have not talked about yet until this very moment. Brace yourselves, because you are in for a treat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So some of you may have heard or witnessed or whatnot, or maybe you don't even know that we are involved with this, but we launched something called the Uncanny Experience, and it is a fan convention immersive event happening in Minneapolis, Minnesota next September for all of people who love mutants and mutant kind. We have special guests, Rogue, Lenore Zan, we have Wolverine, Cal Dodd, we have Larry Houston, everybody from X-Men the Animated Series.
Yes, and our big guest of honor. When I saw this name on the list, Chandler, that we have this person coming, I died. Why? Because we've covered a lot of his issues on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Claremont himself is going to be at the Uncanny Experience.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's so legit. I can't even believe it. But yeah, so we conceived this idea because Chris and I and Dylan, who is part of the House of X podcast, we came together and we're like, why is there no X-Men event? Why is there no fan event for X-Men fans? You know, there's Power Rangers, He-Man, Xena retreats. There's like anything you can think of. There is a gathering of fans for this fandom, but there's nothing for X-Men. So we're like, we're going to create something that we think is super cool and hope that everybody else thinks that it's super cool. And we announced it last week. And yeah, it was actually mind-blowing how positive the reaction was, and how Instagram and Twitter and everything was a flutter with it, and people dawning that we're part of this kind of thing that launched, that they heard about. And it's too exciting. I don't even know where to begin and talking about it because it's so in depth, but everybody should go check out theuncannyexperience.com or follow the social media channels, which is the Uncanny EXP on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and you can kind of see all sorts of information about it.
Yeah, you'll see how you can immerse yourself into the world of mutants and become a student. A student? That's not a word. A student of Xavier Institute. And you're going to see it when you go to the uncannyexperience.com, an amazing video of the venue, because you are actually being transported into the X Mansion, and there's going to be X-Men there. There's going to be a lot of special features and panels and parties. And I cannot wait, because all year we are going to be announcing different features of this immersive convention hybrid experience. And stay tuned, everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. But before that, we're going to make an appearance at Twin Cities Con. So Minneapolis, Minnesota, known as the Twin Cities, they have a convention called Twin Cities Con. And so Chris and I and Dylan will be there. We have a booth for the Uncanny Experience. So if you are a local listener in Minnesota or surrounding states and you're going to be there, come find us at our booth. And we'll also be leading a couple panels, including an X-Reads live panel, which is exciting. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I guess I have one more plug, because guess what's coming up, Chandler? Los Angeles Comic-Con. It's the first week in December, and I am on staff, and I am so excited because we have so many amazing guests, like Simu Liu. Shang-Chi himself is going to be in attendance, and Elijah Wood and Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings, and Giancarlo Esposito, who you know as Moff Gideon, who may also be Professor X. There's a rumor out there.
Ooh.
Yeah. So go to so go to comicconla.com. and check out all the information. I have Eric and Julia Leewald and Larry Houston are going to be in attendance. And oh my gosh, I guess I can give you kind of like a sneak preview of what's happening, but you heard it here first, everybody. It has come to my attention that the most epic cosplayers in all the land, they are coming together for a amazing Hellfire Gala fashion walk. So I love to put together lobby performances with different groups and stuff, and the cosplayers decided to come out and really, you know, show off their stuff. So if you love the X-Men Hellfire Gala, you have to come to Los Angeles Comic-Con.
Amazing. Well, let's get into our issue of the episode, What If Wolverine Was Lord of the Vampires? So to set the era, to set the scene, this came out in April of 1991. The top film was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
Oh my God. Wait, was this the one with the vanilla ice at the end, or was that
yes.
the first one?
Oh yes.
My gosh. I don't know why, but this is one of those like franchises where the sequel was even better than the first movie. Like yeah. Secret of the Ooze was on repeat in my home all the time.
Me too.
Yeah. Do you remember when they did like a reboot of Ninja Turtles and they look like ugly Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah. So I never watched them because I refused. I was like, never will I tarnish the amazing 90s Ninja Turtle movies with this garbage that's coming out. Sorry, everybody that worked on it. I'm sure you worked hard, whatever. But the point is that the 90s Turtles are my Turtles. So much that they rebooted it back into the 90s because they're like, oh, why did we change what, you know, what was never broken?
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, it's like, we've learned our lesson. And actually, no, I take that back. We have not learned our lesson, because apparently Chris Pratt is the voice of Mario, and yes. There's not a hint of Italian there. And I'm just destroyed. My nostalgia was slapped in the face.
Yeah, it was offensive because it was, yeah, like Long Island, like fake New York accent Mario. And I was like, what is this? Like, why did they think this was a good idea? Anyway, sorry. Tangent over.
Yeah, that was a tangent overload. But let's bring it back to the Ninja Turtles Secret of the Ooze. I recommend watching it with your children to, you know, let them know about the history of the franchise, because it is definitely something that is memorable.
Yeah.
More memorable than when they went to Japan in the next one, because there was three where they were samurais. I don't think it was the number one movie. Ninja Turtles was the number one movie?
There was actually it was a month where every week was a top film. So I just was like, I'm just going to pick this one because all the other films were kind of lame. So I was like, you know what? We're going to talk about Ninja Turtles Secret of the Ooze, because it was dominating 2 weeks in a row. So Yeah, I love that. I love that movie so much. There's so much great martial arts action, and we get Super Shredder, which is badass.
Yeah, I had all the Ninja Turtle action figures, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because it was the X-Men and Ninja Turtles. I think Ninja Turtles was actually my gateway into action figure collecting. Mm-hmm. And my favorite of all time was April O'Neil. And her figure, it was really interesting to see the evolution of her action figure, because it started out looking like, you know, a G.I. Joe. Mm-hmm. And then after the third generation, she had nail polish, she had boobs popping out, there was purple accents everywhere and lipstick and flowing hair. And I was just like, this is my April.
Yes. I was a big Michelangelo fan, and yeah, it definitely was the gateway to action figures, in the sense that these were coming out in 89 to 91 or whatever, and X-Men, you know, the animated series didn't come out until 92. So it's, you know, we were definitely, I was big into Turtles when I was young, huge into Turtles. And I loved this movie.
Yes. Kevin Eastman, thank you for your creative genius of creating the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Absolutely. Love them. The top song was Baby Baby by Amy Grant.
Okay. I've heard of Amy Grant before, but what is this song? How does it go?
I feel like the music is more iconic than the lyrics, and I can't think of all the words, but it just basically goes, baby, baby, I said, dun, dun, emotion. Stop baby, for a minute. Okay.
Yeah, it's all coming back to me. Baby, baby.
Yes, this is when Amy Grant turned away from her like Christian music. You know, she was a big Christian star, and then this was kind of her breakaway into secular music. Well, I will say that our friend Katie from A Date with Dateline, she has a really great story that I'll just repeat on her behalf, though would love to have her back on the show sometime. She, by the way, those listening, she was one of the kind of guests we had on for the series Trial of Magneto, and so she covered all those issues leading up to the finale with Leah Williams. So if you want to go back and listen to those from last November until January, you will hear Katie talk. Anyways, so she tells a story about how her parents had her write a letter to Amy Grant as a young child, saying how she was so disappointed that she left the faith-based music and went secular. And she says it was traumatizing because she didn't understand what she was doing. Her parents made her do it. And I just thought, I was like, how many letters, how much, you know, garbage did she have to put up with because she released the song Baby Baby?
Well, it is definitely iconic and memorable. It's an earworm. So yes. You probably are humming it along with us as we were rediscovering our memory of it.
Yes. Other notable things, if those Broadway fans out there, Miss Saigon opens on Broadway. Love this music.
Oh my God. I cannot believe that I have a tangent story about this.
Tell us.
Okay. So once upon a time, I was attending the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, which is, you know, a private academy school for people that want to get into the entertainment industry. And one of my classes I had to do was musical theater. And the guy that was doing the class, for whatever reason, said, I'm going to give you the hardest song. And I was like, yeah, I could take it. I could do it. I got no problem because I'm cool and I'm talented. All right. He gave me Why God Why for Miss Frickin' Saigon. If you try to sing this song, you're going to crack, okay? I barely made it through, and I was broken. And I was like, I never want to do musical theater again. Why, God, why this song? It's so hard, and my range is small.
Wow.
Okay, that was my tangent story.
That was a good, it's a good story. I mean, I love Miss Saigon. I think.
Oh, that helicopter that comes out?
Oh, gosh. It's such an incredible musical. If you guys have not seen it. I think it's on Broadway right now, but either way, I saw it when it just recently relaunched maybe 5 years ago or 4 years ago. And it's brilliant. Whatever. Anyways,
the first time I saw Miss Saigon, I was way too young because my mom took me, you know, and I didn't understand. I was just like, I didn't know what hookers were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't. Yeah, I was just like, what? Wait a minute, why doesn't he want the baby? I don't get it. Like,
no, forced child prostitution.
Like, what's happening?
Yeah, it's a pretty deep show. It's actually, I was weeping when I was seeing it, when I was watching it. So I love that musical. But to like, just when we think we've reached the pinnacle of amazing 90-ness, Dinosaurs premieres on ABC.
Oh, Chandler, my nostalgia. You're hitting me in my nostalgias.
I know. I mean, April of 91 with Ninja Turtles and Dinosaurs, like epitome of monster culture.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Kids just don't know today.
They don't. And robots, everything's CGI. They don't understand the real effects of both the turtles and the dinosaurs being creatures and not computer generated.
That show was adult. That had a lot of, like, you can watch that with your family and the kids enjoy it because they like seeing the cute dinosaurs, but there was, like, you know, some heavier themes that they were talking about. So it was a really good family show.
I remember I oddly thought the brother character Robbie was attractive.
What? Okay. I'm not gonna lie. I did think that too.
Yeah,
we're both weirdos. Me and you, Chandler. So if anybody else is a weirdo like us, please agree with us so we don't feel alone.
We're so alone, Chris.
No, we can't be alone. There has to be other people out there that think this that dinosaur was an attractive dinosaur.
Yeah. Yes. Because he was a jock and everything. Yep. Yeah.
He had that Letterman jacket. And, like, the Letterman jacket. Spikes. You know.
Right. Yeah, like the mohawk. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I was all about that sassy sister because she was all into her fashion and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She was like the Cher Horowitz of her school.
And how could we not talk about Baby?
Not the mama!
Exactly.
Not the mama!
could that joke ever get old? No. I literally could watch the baby hit the dad and say not the mama 1,000 times and still think it's funny.
Oh my god. We need to have a day where we just have a marathon of it.
Yeah, I wonder if it's on Disney Plus. I haven't even looked to see. It must be.
It has to be.
Wasn't there rumor that they're rebooting it?
No, don't. Like, for real?
I feel like
they have to do it. They have to do it like CGI. If we get a reboot. I mean, not CGI, animatronics,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the word. You get 50 cents. So, I need animatronics. Don't you give me CGI. You better not.
Oh my God.
I will protest.
It would be disgusting. It'd be like, no, what have you done to our dinosaurs? But yeah, no, I heard rumor that they're in talks because they realize that 90s nostalgia is on an all-time high. So they're like, can we resurrect the robots?
they're probably in storage somewhere in the Henson studio.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to connect the dots here,
mm-hmm.
was located right next door to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. I used to attend.
Yes, on the Brea.
Yeah. I wanted to sneak over next door all the time because I would see the studio doors open where they load things in.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so many ideas of Mission Impossible-ing it into the studio so I can see behind the scenes.
Yeah, I love, so the Jim Henson lot, which is formerly, like, they call it the Charlie Chaplin lot, but if you drive down La Brea, those that live in town are visiting as tourists, you'll see a giant Kermit the Frog standing mm-hmm. on top of a building, and it's kind of these oldie timey buildings from the 20s and 30s that they've kept on the facade, and on the inside, of course, it's all a bit modernized. But there was a time where I went on the Jim Henson lot and they had something called the Barn, and the Barn now is converted all into office spaces and modernized, but it was the place where they had all just like the Muppet parts, and you could go in and they just had like storage bins and like stuff full of Muppet stuff.
Oh my God. But Chandler, I'm kind of weirded out by that. It's like this weird, horrible horror scene with all these Muppet body parts. Like, what if it was human body parts?
I know. No, I mean, I will say there was no recognizable like Kermit heads Muppet or Miss Piggy arms or anything like that. It was kind of like dinosaur stuff. It was kind of like when I was there, I just remember seeing more like reptile things, or I can't remember specifically, but they have one of the dinosaurs from Dinosaurs the Show on the lot, just like a fiberglass version of a Brontosaurus. And but he's very small, and anyways, I think he was the neighbor or something. I remember somehow there was a Brontosaurus that kind of stuck his head in every, like, you know, like Wilson from Home Improvement.
Yes, I love that's a definite 90s character trope, by the way.
Yeah, the nosy
every neighbor. 90s show had the nosy neighbor with the head over the fence.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, all right, let's do this. We're doing this issue. We're back in Halloween mode.
Oh my God, we're doing an X-Men podcast.
We're doing an X-Men podcast, not 90s nostalgia. Okay, so this is What If number 24, published April of 1991, written by Roy Thomas and R.J.M. Loffacer, art by Tom Morgan, letters by Janice Chang or Chiang. I think it's Chang, titled What If Wolverine Had Become Lord of the Vampires? And Chris, what do you think about this cover?
Hold on, wait a minute. I recognize that name.
Yeah.
Dylan from House of X podcast presented a panel at WonderCon this past year featuring, different Asian talent within the industry to give them a platform and highlight them and spotlight them. And Janice was one of them. She's amazing. It was great to hear her talk.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, she's got an amazing bit of history in comics. I think she's the first Asian woman to work in Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And she also lettered the issue where North Star comes out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what an amazing career, Janice. We love you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for doing the letters for this What If. And on the cover, we have a very interesting scene indeed. I want to say that I'm surprised at the cameo here, because what is the Punisher doing in this issue?
Yes.
He is lurking on the cover way in the background. He's about to pounce on Wolverine, who is actually doing something very naughty.
Yes, Wolverine, he's got his fangs out because it says, what if Wolverine was Lord of the Vampires? So he's bitten into Jean Grey's neck and is drinking her blood. She's wearing her original Phoenix costume, by the way, all passed out. Very iconic vampire pulp novel kind of cover stuff. But yeah, Punisher is lurking in the background. He's got a machine gun drawn at Wolverine, a bazooka around his shoulder, plenty of bullets ready to spare. And yeah,
this is the era of Punisher when he had the bandana around his head, like, mm-hmm. like Rambo.
Yeah. And the letterbox in the corner, we see the Watcher, we see Doctor Strange, and we see Dracula. So we can expect to see some of these characters inside.
Yeah. And I got to say, Phoenix looks pretty sexy.
Yes.
Yeah, this is like a very, the thing about vampires is they always kind of remind me of a romance novel cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In these scenarios where they're biting on the damsel.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a very hypersexualized erotic thing that's happening.
Totally, totally. And then on the inside cover, we have our very first
alert.
It's for Double Dragon 3, the video game.
Oh, I love Double Dragon.
Yes, me too. Twice the characters, three times the action. Now, I was a big Double Dragon 2 fan. Double Dragon 3, I don't know if I was deep into that as I was in number 2. I must have played it. I mean, this is like prime NES video game time.
Have we gotten a Double Dragon movie?
I don't think so.
Have we gotten like a reboot of Double Dragon?
No, I feel like
I feel like it was a really popular franchise.
I feel like it was too. However, maybe it is too appropriation of Asian culture kind of thing. I don't know.
Oh, you think so? I don't know. I haven't really like thought about it in depth for a long time. So maybe it doesn't hold up to today.
Maybe. I mean, basically it's about two white guys who are really good at martial arts is essentially what the premise of it all. But
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, but I had to look it up. We did get a movie.
Oh no.
We did get a movie in 1994.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
It starred Mark Dacascos and Scott Wolf.
Oh wow. Okay.
Oh wow. My God. And guess who was in it?
Who?
Alyssa freaking Milano.
Oh my gosh.
From Charmed.
Yeah. And, well, I guess
you know, Tony.
Who's the boss?
Who's the boss?
Yeah.
Love her.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe Double Dragon needs a reboot, maybe it doesn't. But either way, I think I need to go see this movie because I'm very curious about it now.
I am so curious.
Yeah.
Stay right. tuned for Chris and Chandler's new podcast focusing on Double Dragon and the franchise.
No kidding. Oh my God. All right, let's get into this issue. All right, I will start us off by reading The Watcher. We see the Watcher. He's standing in the cosmos. His hand is reaching up into the air. He says, "Must I really introduce myself yet again? Very well, then. If I must, I must. I am the Watcher. It is my fate to be forever an inactive observer as it answers to the myriad of questions of the many worlded multiverse unfurl themselves. The question this time is simple, yet fraught with the possibilities. What if Wolverine had become the Lord of Vampires? He very nearly did, you know. It occurred some time ago when Logan and others, who then composed of the X-Men, battled none other than Count Dracula himself for the life and soul of Ororo, also called Storm. At first, there in New York Central Park, the mutants did not fare well." And he recaps the issue.
Yeah, and then we see Colossus, and he's getting, you know, whacked by a tree. And he says, "It is Dracula who shall ever prevail." Actually, Dracula says that, not Colossus. Yes. Dracula, it's hard to see him, but if you, you know, squint your eyes, you could see the shadowy figure in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wolverine is smashed against another tree. Dracula continues, "The ploy of the cross is useless unless the one who wields it truly believes. With a thought, I can summon lightning from the heavens." And he summons lightning and electrocutes Nightcrawler.
Yes. And yeah, this is all recapping X-Men 159, which we covered way back when, our very first Halloween special in 2019. So scroll back and you can hear all about this. And, you know, essentially what happens is that the X-Men are down. Dracula, who thinks Ororo is under his mind control, tells her to finish them, but she has a turn of heart and she instead turns on Dracula and he is defeated. And the Watcher continues. He says, "Ororo's recovery tipped the balance and assured the X-Men's victory that day. Another link in the chain of events which culminated in what seemed for a time to be the final destruction of Dracula and all his earthly kith and kin. When Doctor Strange found and read aloud the Montesi formula from the fabled Darkhold, which annihilated every vampire on his astral plane."
Yeah, and we see Doctor Strange, you know, doing his magic thing that he loves to do with the book hovering about. And he says, "Nos mo cobis holo esama brabis." His magic spell.
Yes. The Watcher continues, "Still, as you doubtlessly know by now, there are many realities, including one in which Dracula had already drunk enough of Ororo's blood to kill her, raising her again as a true vampire. Thus, young Kitty's imploring of Storm falls upon deaf ears, with the result that Ororo blasts her former companions rather than the Count."
Ooh, and this is great. I love this panel with Storm because she looks full on sass. I mean, this is like Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B and Nicki Minaj and everyone all rolled up into one hot girl. Mm-hmm. And she goes, zap.
Yes. And she's and zaps zapping.
All the X-Men. So now our realities are diverging. So we see this alternate reality of what's happening.
Storm says, you may do as you will with them, my lord.
Zap! And then she zaps all those other X-Men, Colossus, Wolverine, and Nightcrawler, and they are just in a lot of pain. So on the ground, we have Wolverine, and his neck is just out there for the biting because he's passed out. So what does Dracula do? He's biting down into his necks. And he says, oh, I shall, my love, I shall.
It's and with kind these of words, like sexy, right?
I mean, like the whole vampire thing, it is sexy.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you give it an analogy to what it's speaking to in real life, it's kind of like getting an STD.
Sure.
Yeah, no, that's kind of like the warning of a vampire. Is like you're going to sleep with somebody and then you're going to, you know, turn into, you get whatever they have.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So anyway, with these words, Dracula lowers himself toward the exposed throats of the fallen mutants. And in an orgy of satiation, drinks deeply enough of their lifeblood to kill them. And three nights later to raise them as legionnaires of the forever undead.
Yes.
Ooh, I sound like Haunted House.
Yeah, you sound like Vincent Price. So yeah, Wolverine, Colossus, Nightcrawler, they all come back as vampires and they're under Dracula's spell. At least Dracula thinks so. Wolverine, of course, being, you know, I don't know if it's mutant healing factor or his resilience to whatever. He is not under Dracula's control. And he challenges Dracula to the title of Lord of the Vampires.
He should have tried to just kill Wolverine.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what, Wolverine is going to come back and dominate.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, Dracula thinks that he can take down Wolverine, but Wolverine learns quick. He already can master turning into mist. He can turn into his animal forms. Wolverine, of course, turns into a wolf rather than a bat. And they go toe to toe or fang to fang. And before we get to their fight, we have our very next Adamant. Oh, it's for Mega Man 3. It says, anything else you need to know? Because by this point Mega Man was dominating, in my opinion, because I was a huge Mega Man fan. Mega Man 2 is one of my favorite original Nintendo games, and this is Mega Man 3, the big kind of continuation of the Mega Man franchise. And I, oh my god, I love this game.
It says Snake Man, Hard Man, Gemini Man, Magnet Man, Needle Man, Shadow Man, Spark Man, and Top Man. Top Man? Who's Top Man?
Tell me more.
Tell me more. There. They're the eight new robot masters in Mega Man 3. Defeat them all and you'll still have Dr. Wily to deal with and possibly even a few of your old enemies from 1 and 2. Okay, now the only question that remains is how fast you can get to the store and get 3.
Mm-hmm.
Who wrote this copy?
One of the captions says, it's hard to top Top Man's dangerous spins.
Ooh, what?
Why does my mind go Hard like... Man and Top Man? What's happening in this
Who game? Designed this?
No, what I find interesting, by the way, is, you know, as a Mega Man player, there is a certain formula to defeating them, because what happens in Mega Man, of course, is that you defeat the boss and you gain their power and you can use it forever throughout the rest of the game. But some of the levels and some of the bosses they have a weakness to certain other powers. So you have to kind of do it in this order in order to defeat them all. And they gave it away. You go Snake Man, Hard Man, Gemini Man, Magnet Man, Needle Man, Shadow Man, Spark Man, and Top Man. And that's kind of literally, I remember the order of how you play that. So they kind of gave you the right in the code of the ad of how to start and kind of beat the game. Anyways,
well, I want to say that I would like to see these characters, Hard Man and Top Man, perhaps they can make appearances or cameos in other video game franchises like Dream Daddy.
Yes, perhaps. You know, Hard Man, his superpower is a giant fist. So I'm just leaving it there.
What is wrong with us?
Rated explicit. This is why we're not a general audience podcast.
Okay, back to the X-Men.
Back to the X-Men. All right. Yes. Wolverine and Dracula, they are fighting in their animals in animal forms, and Wolverine is tearing into Dracula as a bat, and we see scree, all sorts of...
Oh my gosh, I love this Wolverine head on top of the wolf body.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like, you know, it is a Marvel Legends action figure that you can pop the head off of one and put it onto another body.
Absolutely, yeah. They transform back into human form because Dracula turns out of his bat form. He's bleeding, and Wolverine says, switching back to normal form, huh? Okay by me. And he makes swift work of Dracula by slicing off his head.
This is the best. I love this panel. I'm going to post this on social media, y'all, because it's a classic death scene of a cheesy horror movie, you know, of the era, where you see the spirals of the head just rolling away.
Yes. When I saw this panel, I was like, oh my God, this is violent. I said, this is not the comics code authority kind of stuff. I feel like I think we're still under. Yeah. It says it's under the comic code's authority, but because you're not supposed to kill. Anyways, Dracula's dead.
Something about killing and stuff in the different franchises.
Okay, sure, go for it.
One of my traditions is I love to watch the Treehouse of Horror.
Yes.
I just saw this year's. It's based on something that, you know, I hate clowns. It's based on Stephen King's It, and it is bloody, it is gory, it is back to the classic, like, you know, anything goes Halloween horror special. Krusty the Clown is it, you guys. And the episode title is Not It.
So good. Oh my gosh, I love this. Anyways, I don't want to diverge too far.
So now Wolverine is looking all tough and handsome. He is standing proud.
Mm-hmm.
Says, can we all spell Lord of Vampires, boys and girls? And they all say, Hail Wolverine, Lord of Vampires! And now... it's time to get nasty. Oh my gosh, wait a minute. Can we go back? You're a much better Wolverine. These are great lines. Hey, Wolverine, Lord of the Vampires.
And now it's time to get nasty.
And the face that the artist gives us of Wolverine is pretty intense. I move over Professor Xavier's eyebrows. Wolverine is in town, and he is now the Lord of the eyebrow.
Lord of the eyebrows, indeed. Yes, he's got blood dripping out of the corner of his mouth, a big smile, fangs showing. Yeah, and he's looking pretty gnarly.
Yeah, it looks like a vintage mask you'd find at, like, CVS, or the 99 cent store.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would be your Wolverine mask.
Yes, we learn that as the Lord of the Vampires, Dracula before him, and before him there was another character, I can't remember the name right now, but anyways, they inherit the evil associated with the former lord. So basically,
yeah, the former lord, his name was Varney. Excuse me.
Okay,
why would you disrespect a Varney like that?
I'm so sorry, Varney. So yeah, Dracula absorbed Varney's evilness, and then Wolverine absorbed both of their evilness. And so now basically they're saying Wolverine is completely evil. There is no shred of humanity left in him. And
this is where it gets good, y'all.
Yes.
This is the fun part. You know, if you are a fan of Marvel zombies, this type of scene is very familiar to you because the X-Men are devouring everyone and everything in sight. And first, they're starting off with the New Mutants. Why? Yes. Because they're easy pickings.
Yes, to expand their vampire super army. And then they go after Magneto and the Hellfire Club and basically every mutant that they know. And they turn them all into vampires. And then they start wreaking havoc on the human race in New York City.
Oh, this poor woman in the green. She's running her way down the street going, but I wanted to give her a shout out because we're never going to see her again. And she's got cute fashion.
She does. She's got a really sharp green outfit on, great dangly earrings. Her lipstick looks on point.
Yeah, I want to give her an honorable mention in this podcast because, lady, you rock. I hope you didn't die.
Yeah, I hope they made you into a vampire so you could continue on your sexy vampire undead fashion.
Yeah, she's probably hot stuff. She's still alive in the Marvel Universe right now. We're going to see her in the new Blade. So J. Jonah Jameson, he is just perplexed. He says, I don't believe it. I send the Daily Bugle so-called reporters out after a story and they bring me back tales of vampire attacks?
Yes.
Report what they see, Jonah. He's right.
He's right, Robbie. We haven't gotten any real proof because vampires don't photograph.
Oh, good one.
Wow.
And literally that whole scene was there just for that joke.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Exactly.
Well, deep beneath the streets, in what was once the lair of the living Morlocks. Okay, so now we have Wolverine sitting on the throne, and we have Destiny and Mystique.
Yes.
A lesbian couple that we love so much.
Yes, I was actually very surprised to see Destiny. I thought she was dead by this point, but maybe this was right before her death. Or maybe this is just alternate reality. She never died in the plane crash kind of situation. But she is telling Wolverine about, you know, she sees the future as, you know, she's a precog. And she knows that Doctor Strange has the power to destroy all vampires with his spell in the Darkhold. And so Wolverine's like, oh, well, we got to take out Doctor Strange then, obviously.
Yeah, he wants Doctor Strange's hide.
Yes, and Nightcrawler explains you can't just walk into the Sanctum Sanctorum where the book is. It's protected by spells. And so he sets off somebody to take down Doctor Strange. And oh my God, it's so brutal. We'll get to it in a second. But I was reading that. And I was like, as a big Doctor Strange fan, I was like, oh my God, no. Anyways, we cut to Doctor Strange. He's flying through the air in New York City. And he is kind of recapping what's going on and how the streets are empty at night and how the vampire spree is going and killing all these humans. But he's like, oh, but I'm sensing a powerful presence. He thinks Dracula is into this.
And that presence is the Ruby of Sitarak. And then I had to rack my brain for a second because that belongs to a specific character that we all know.
Mm-hmm.
The Juggernaut.
Yes.
All of a sudden, there is a giant fist that goes thwack and punches Doctor Strange right in the face, sending blood flying everywhere.
Yeah, it breaks his neck. And previously, he caught him from behind and broke his spine. And so Juggernaut is literally pulverizing Doctor Strange. And before he can kill him outright, the cape with the Eye of Agamotto fly away. And Doctor Strange fades from existence as the very scary looking Juggernaut with fangs of his own is ready to basically chow down on the poor Doctor Strange. And
I have to give a big shout out to the artist on this because that is beautiful. His life fading away and the panels, you know, just kind of like dominoes, just kind of fading away into nothing.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And then... Well, they just throw his body into a pit of crocodiles and alligators because, you know, comics, you guys.
Right. Wolverine doesn't want to take any risks. He's like, that body can come back from the dead. He's the sorcerer supreme. He's like, but he ain't going to come back if his body has been digested through a bunch of pieces, through a bunch of alligators.
Yeah. And we hear a crunch, chomp, gnash, gnash.
Yeah, I love the very specific words of the pit of white albino alligators. crocodiles. Very white albino crocodiles. I was like, why do they have to be white albino crocodiles? Oh, very specific.
That's very specific. So what happens next, Chandler?
Well, you know, Wolverine is like, okay, our biggest threat that was going to destroy us is out of the way. And so let's take down the rest of the superheroes. And he gets his mutant vampire horde to attack the city and take down or convert the heroes and villains of New York City. So notably, he recruits Spider-Man, Moon Knight.
Oh, I see Cloak and Daggers there, Hobgoblin, the Shocker, Nick Fury, Thor, She-Hulk. Yep.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Getting all of these characters. And then he just flat right out kills some of the heroes, such as the Fantastic Four, Daredevil, Doctor Doom, though I don't know how they got to Doctor Doom's neck. I mean, with all that armor on.
Seriously. Namor's up in the deceased pile with the Scarlet Witch.
Vision, because they can't convert him into a vampire, so they probably just dismantled him.
Wait a minute. Who's that frog? Is that a frog?
Oh my gosh, Frogman.
Oh my gosh, it's Frogman.
It's Frogman from the She-Hulk series, if you remember.
Wow, what an Easter egg.
Yeah.
That was great, you guys. I love that find.
Yes, that's a good one. I didn't even notice that they threw in Frogman. That's so silly.
Oh my gosh, and that's Black Panther, right?
Yeah, Black Panther's in the deceased pile.
Chandler.
Scarlet Witch.
Chandler, wait a minute. Oh, you guys, this little Easter egg has just unlocked a mega tangent. Mega, mega, mega tangent. You went to the Black Panther premiere.
I did. Yes, I saw Wakanda Forever.
Like, why didn't we lead with that?
There's too much going on.
I forgot. Like, can you just like, I'm so jealous. I didn't get to go. I'm just so busy getting LA Comic Con together. I don't have time to do things anymore right now. So you went.
I did.
And Dylan went from House of X.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michelle Waffle was there from Power of X-Men.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, who else was there? A cosplay counselor I saw. Oh, Namor cosplay. I remember Namor wasn't going to be able to go. And then now I saw him on the red carpet. It was like this big burst of joy that I had for him.
Yes. Yeah. So many of our friends were there. And yeah, it was great. I mean, the whole red carpet experience is always wild. They had all these activations. They had all these beautiful costumes on display. And they, you know, of course, let us see the movie. And the movie is fantastic, everybody. You know, you got to go out and see it. The first one was wonderful. And this is, to me, it's even better just because I love Namor and the whole underwater world that they create. It's not Atlantis, FYI. It's a very specific, you know, Mayan culture kind of vibe that they're going with Namor. And I think it's brilliant and makes perfect sense in the MCU kind of reality. And I thought it was so well done. It's very, very much on par with normal MCU films. A lot of people said the Doctor Strange and Thor were too much of a departure because they were too like funny or too weird for them. This is very much like, this is a Marvel MCU cinematic masterpiece kind of film. It's very long. It's almost 3 hours. So strap in, make sure you go to the bathroom before and make sure you have a snack and enjoy the Rihanna song at the end. I got to see Rihanna at the premiere.
No way.
She was sitting a few rows behind me and I was like gonna pass out because I was like, Rihanna?
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. I just woke up because I just passed out just from hearing you say that.
Yes. It was so exciting. I mean, the cast, of course, is incredible, and I was very excited to see all them. But I mean, Rihanna.
Yeah, I would have bumped into her and said, oh, I'm sorry. Call me rude boy. No.
No.
Okay.
And she'll be like, escort him out of here. Security.
Oh, God. I am so jealous. The pictures on social media just look so beautiful. And I can already tell that there was a lot of love that went into making that film just by the energy that was exuding from everybody that was at the red carpet.
Yeah. Bring tissues too, because it's also very sad with the passing of Chadwick. Really? You know, and you know,
yeah,
I think we all know from the trailers and everything that Black Panther T'Challa is dead, and they are mourning him in the movie, and it's very sad.
Oh man, well, I'm glad we're able to be able to see an expression of that emotion and through this art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really incredible. So yeah, everybody go see it. I think a big thanks to Marvel Studios, Disney for, you know, for the invite. I feel so honored to be on that invite list because, as you know, we went to the Thor Love and Thunder premiere together, and previously Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness I was at. So they somehow have deemed that I am worthy to be on their invite list, and I am appreciative of it every day.
Woo woo.
All right, back to the X-Men story. So on the next page, we see the White House, and we learn kind of what the president and the rest of the world are doing right now. Essentially, they have Manhattan, the island, on lockdown to kind of keep the vampire virus under control. And so people cannot enter and they cannot leave. So all the people are stuck on the island, and there's heroes like Captain America and Iron Man who are not allowed onto Manhattan, as if just a couple military guys with guns could stop Captain America and Iron Man. But I digress. And they decide that you know, to get enough silver bullets to kill all the vampires would bankrupt the nation. And so they turn to the world, and the world is like, we can't help you. You know, good luck. We'll have to monitor it from afar. And then we see a ghostly Doctor Strange. Perfect for our Halloween episode. He is a ghost. As we saw, he died.
Although Doctor Strange's body is long dead and dismembered, his astral spirit has proven decidedly harder to destroy. It drifts amid a sort of cosmic limbo, insubstantial and invisible. It's still human mind confused and disoriented by the shock of its mortal death. Until... Pupil!
Who?
Have you forgotten in only a few ethereal years your mentor, the Ancient One?
Master, but you died.
As have you.
And became one with the universe.
Aye, the universe. A universe in danger of infection by a vampirical virus, which, by a whim of destiny, rages even now on the world of my birth. My mission on Earth is not yet over, can never be over, until the universe is free of the danger of contagion.
But Master, you know that only the Montesi formula written in the Darkhold can destroy all vampires. The book lies in my mansion, in the Sanctum Sanctorum, and having only this ghostly form, I am powerless to retrieve it or use its spells.
Then you must find a human tool who will carry out your will, my son. You would have thought of this yourself when you got your bearings. I merely hastened the process, but now go. I loosened the jar for you.
Yes, exactly. So Doctor Strange plummets back to Earth in his ghostly form, and he sees that it's daytime and that the streets are covered with people dressed in black with their face covered up who want to become vampires. So they're like the vampire day gang, and you want to avoid them in public. But who should scare them away but a couple of blam blams?
It would be Frank Castle, the Punisher. Dying time, blackheads.
Blam blam. Oh my gosh, there's so much gun violence gonna happen now. And we see the Punisher, and with his bandana, his bazooka, and his machine guns, and he is shooting the men dressed in black with the face mask, the vampire lackeys.
Should we dramatic read this one?
Oh, of Doctor Strange talking to him?
Yeah, inside of his head.
Yeah,
I'll be Punisher.
Okay, great.
I'm so brutish today.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's inside my head. Who is it? And where did this cape come from? And all of a sudden, in his mind's eye, he is wearing Doctor Strange's cape. It is majestic. It is flowing, and, you know, he looks pretty good in it. He says, felt like it just floated onto my shoulders from out of nowhere.
Actually, Castle, it came from my mansion in Greenwich Village, where it's been ever since my body was murdered.
By the way, I 100% A-OKU doing ghost voice because there are squiggle lines around the dialogue box indicating that it's a
spooky voice.
So then Punisher says, huh? I know the face I see in my mind's eye. Doctor Strange. Some kind of mystic, right?
Some kind, yes.
If you're in the league with those lousy vampires.
On the contrary, they're the ones who killed me.
Well, if I can believe in vampires, I guess I can stretch the point to include ghosts. What do you want with me?
You must retrieve a book from my sanctum, a book called The Darkhold. One of its spells is the only thing that can annihilate the vampires in one fell swoop.
Sounds good to me.
Wait, before you agree, you must understand reading the Darkhold's incantation may cost you your soul.
Mister, I lost that the day my wife and kids were killed. A lifetime ago. Let's go.
Blam!
Blam!
And another bullet lodged in a baddie down on the street.
Soon, after a stop at the Punisher's hidden arsenal, the Punisher draws near a certain mansion on Bleecker Street.
Yes, he shows up at the house to get the book, but he is surrounded by these shadow figures, and it's getting dark. He doesn't want to be outside, you know, once the sun goes down, because then all the vampires can, you know, be on the street. So he gives a spray of bullets to take out these shadow figures, but it's too late because
wait a minute, are we still inside of his mind's eye?
No, this is actually happening.
Oh my gosh. So wait, we got a mashup. This is Doctor Strange / Punisher.
Correct.
Wow, this is blowing my mind's eye.
Yes. Yeah, so the night has settled and the vampires are loose, and so the X-Men are coming out of the shadows. And it's
saying, oh my gosh, this looks like Marvel zombie stuff right here.
Yeah, it's totally creepy. I love how Juggernaut is running at him, though.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
I'm the Juggernaut. And they start attacking Frank Castle, but because not only is he a great, you know, fighter, but he also has the aid of the cloak and his magical items, so he's able to take on the vampire X-Men.
Yeah, he's got the silver bullets too.
Yes, and he's got garlic grenades. He made them up. Ooh. Special.
Oh my gosh, I love garlic. Mm-hmm. Love garlic on my pizza. I love garlic fries. Garlic.
I would love a garlic grenade in my life. But he is tearing through the X-Men vampires with silver bullets, literally shooting and killing Cyclops, Nightcrawler, and then Storm turns into a bat and starts charging after him. And he uses a silver knife to cut through her wings. And also his gloves, I guess, are silver. And he's able to grasp her and hold her with the power of silver gloves. And then makes her transform back into Storm. And then continues to rain bullets on her as she screams, crashing to the floor. Which is so violent. And then Colossus shows up and he's like, well, your silver bullets can't stop me, not with my metal hide or my metal skin.
Yeah, and Punisher's all like, who said I was going to waste some of my precious silver on you, Tovarich? I can never say that word, I swear.
I think that's it, Tovarich.
Oh, thank God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I've got one or two other aces up my sleeve. And then he starts shooting them with a whoosh. It looks like water splashing on top of Colossus.
Yes, and Colossus says, you would fight me with water?
Not just any water, buddy.
No!
Holy water.
No!
Yeah.
Just disintegrating Colossus.
Yeah, and we see his meaty thighs. He's meaty metal thighs.
Yes. And then
We got somebody else. We got the big guns coming through. It's the Juggernaut. And with the big giant swoosh, he swings his arm right into the cape of Punisher Strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's able to dodge, and somehow with his silver gloves is able to control the Juggernaut's strength, because the Juggernaut loses his strength at the touch of silver, apparently. But still, he has Punisher on the ground. He's just about to crush him when suddenly the Eye of Agamotto opens up and is able to burn Juggernaut and send him flying with an
arg. Yeah, that's a lot of fire.
That is, yeah.
So then what does Punisher say? Punisher Strange, I should say.
Yes.
So that's the Eye of Agamotto. Is it strange? Guy could make a mitt mass producing it for the international terrorist market. Anyway, looks like we got a lot of them.
How could you be so callous, man? These mutants were friends of mine. And unless I miss you, my guess, you knew one or two of them as well.
And, you know, he's standing amongst all of the rubble, the destruction, and the deceased X-Men vampires.
Yes.
Punisher continues on. Listen, I've lost plenty of my friends the last few weeks. Even had to destroy a few of them myself. These muties were dead long before I did my Van Helsing act.
I know, I didn't mean to accuse you.
Apology accepted. Well, here's your place. Let's go get that book.
Wait, suddenly I sense, ow!
Ow! And all of a sudden there's an explosion coming out of the Sanctum Sanctorum. He doesn't even make it inside the door. And guess who is standing in the rubble of the explosion? It's none other than the Lord Vampire himself. Wolverine. Not Dracula. It's Wolverine.
Yes. And Wolverine, says, Lord of the Vampires, to you, Castle.
Wait, you a minute. Strange, wait a minute. Yet. Wait a minute. That's Wolverine, Lord of the Vampires?
Yeah, he's kind of got a little sass to him.
That's what we're going with? Wow. Okay. You know what? When you become a vampire, you become a sassy, sexy, fierce.
Yes. He's got a big cape on, you know, because Wolverine never has worn a cape in his life. But now that he's Lord of the Vampires, he's got accessories. He's got a cape.
Oh, yeah. That hair. That hair is all the way up hair. To heaven.
Yes.
It needs to be, because that's the only way he can reach it, because he's such an evil creature from hell.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a long stretch.
So Wolverine,
anyway, yes. Yeah, say these lines.
Well, so
Punisher says, Wolverine.
And Wolverine says, Wolverine, Lord of the Vampires, to you, Castle. You and Strange haven't won yet. And you want to know something? You ain't about to.
Snick, snicked. Snick, and then he pops the claws. And then you see all the spit and the snarling coming out of Lord Vampire Wolverine.
We separate you first from that cape. Because, you know, he's jealous of the cape. Because, you know, he's wearing his own. But he wants the Doctor Strange cape. And then from the amulet. And then from your life. What do you say to that, Punisher? Sorry, I know it's pulling us out of the story, but I still love a sassy Wolverine.
No, you know what? I think it adds to it. I think we're good. I think this is how it should have been originally portrayed. Anyway, so then Punisher does what he does best. He pulls out his gun. He says, in words of one syllable, blam, 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 blam. And just so you know, audience, he doesn't say blam. Those are onomatopoeias.
Yes.
Because he is firing his gun. Mm-hmm. And he says, blast, going the vampire turns to mist route on me, are you? Till I'm out of bullets? Okay, then time for a mano, Wolvie. No more silver bullets, no more gimmicks, magic or otherwise. Just you and me.
And in a minute, Castle, it'll just be me.
No, I can't with that face, with Wolverine's face, with that voice. Oh, please, whoever is reading along with us, looking at the artwork, this is a magic moment in X-Reads podcast history. I want you to cherish it, because Wow. All right.
Yes, I'm sure Cal Dodd would be proud.
Yeah, so he continues on.
Yes. Well, so, you know.
The blade's made out of silver.
The blade's made out of silver.
Worse than that, before I started this spree, I went and had it blessed by a priest. Now let's say we steer inside Dr. Strange's mansion, Logan. There's the book I'd like you to read.
No, this house protected dangerous spells. I'll rip out your throat first.
I'd really prefer we talk this over. He's choking him. They are fighting. There's a really centimeters away from Punisher's faces, those adamantium claws that are going to slice through his eyeballs. But then, you know, they do a wrestling move where he throws him over himself and they crash inside of the house. Wolverine shouts,
no!
Punisher's all like, inside!
Mm-hmm. Yes, because there's
spells. So it's one knife against 3-6 Wolverine adamantium blades.
Yes. But and somehow the knife doesn't get cut. I'm surprised that the adamantium can't cut through the knife.
Oh, yeah. Oh, plot hole.
I know, right?
Maybe it's an adamantium knife and he had it, you know, especially for this occasion because comics, you guys.
Because comics.
Yeah, they forgot to put that footnote in there that led to the other issue.
Yes. Oh, my
God. So
gosh.
Punisher says, hey, Strange. You said the spells around this place would deep six any vampire that entered.
You better believe it.
Logan may be feeling some pain, but he's definitely still kicking.
The Lord of the Undead has more stamina than other vampires. Castle Dracula once entered even the Vatican, so I should have realized Logan might be able to cross my threshold without being destroyed.
I didn't say he wouldn't. By the farm, thwack! And he like punches Wolverine right in the face.
Oof.
Chandler. You're killing me with this voice. Wolverine, Lord of the Vampires. You're going to have to make my outgoing voice message for Halloween. So Punisher continues. I just said your house spells weren't going to do the trick. Not bad. Ordinarily, a vampire could toss me around like a handball. But in here, he's weakened so much, I almost feel like a bully. And he's like, beating the crap out of Wolverine. Slam! He slams right into the wall. And this is where things get kind of wonky because, it's Doctor Strange's house.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get your hopes up, your lordship. I said almost.
Behind me, the Darkhold. No, I won't let you get to.
Mister, you haven't got much of a choice. And he stabs Wolverine right in the gut. No, you staggering away like that, Wolvie. You're on the ropes. Wolverine is obviously trying to stagger away.
Yeah.
Although I don't know why there's like little clouds. Oh, it's blood. I thought it was little like stink clouds for some reason.
No, it's supposed to be blood, even though it's purple.
Okay. And you know it. But in case you're wondering, no, I am not enjoying this. So I'm going to end this right now and put you out of your... Huh?
Stop, please. Don't kill him. Kitty Pryde, she's leapt out from the ground to stop Frank Castle.
Yeah, and she gets right in between them. And let's talk about her fashion. What is she wearing?
Well, she's just wearing a purple sweatshirt kind of number or hoodie and some tight khakis.
Yeah, well, could it stop? Slice! He slices right through Kitty Pryde because... he didn't have time to stop his arm.
Oh,
Kitty!
Kitty! I know, and her head bounces on the ground with boing boing. And she has that look of shocked expression on her severed head.
And Punisher continues, she must have got away. When I blasted the others, she was a vampire, but she was also a kid. Just a...
You lousy son of a snake. Wolverine. Stabs both hands into Punisher's gut.
Oh, yeah. There's blood everywhere. It's a pool of blood.
Yes. And he says, Punisher's lying dead on the floor in a pool of his own blood. And Wolverine goes over and says, Kitty, they killed you. Kitty!
Yeah, well, Doctor Strange comes back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And this is where the lessons are learned. And because this is a lot of words, but basically to summarize, Doctor Strange says, it was you, Wolverine, the whole time. You're the one that caused all this evil. You turned all your friends into vampires. This is all your doing. But I can tell that there is some humanity left over in you because you care for your fallen friend. So you need to dig deep down and choose. Who are you going to be? The evil, evil Lord of Vampires or Wolverine? You know, Logan, yourself. And Wolverine says, I choose the light. And it gets so bright and the spell is broken. He's still a vampire, but he's no longer controlled by evil whims. Yes. And so Doctor Strange convinces him to read the spell. So he has to open the Darkhold, which hurts him as a vampire. And he needs to read aloud the spell that stops all of his vampire doings to make an end to what he has caused and the havoc he has wreaked on the planet. And he's like weeping as he's reading the spell.
Yeah, he says, Nos mocobis holo erasma rabis. Hello, erasma rabis.
It's working, Logan. All over the city, I can feel the vampires beginning to die the death of the undead. Ooh, and Katarama, we see Magneto, Moon Knight, and Spider-Man. All turning into, they're all kind of disintegrating and smoking as if they're, you know, burning up inside.
Katara, it's no use. I'm starting to fall apart myself. Can't get the words.
Oh, I realize I should be Wolverine.
Yeah, I know, right? All right, let's back up there. Okay. And we even see Spider-Man, and he is shaking because his senses are tingling as he dies.
Yes. And then Wolverine continues citing the incantation. Katara, it's no use. I'm starting to fall apart myself. Can't get these words to come out. And Strange urges him on. And he says, Kataramaluchem. And then all of a sudden, all of the vampires turn to dust instantly. And they all collapse.
Oh, yeah. They went the Buffy route.
They went the full Buffy route.
It was like a Buffy Thanos snap.
Yes. And so all of the heroes have turned to literal piles of ash. And the vampire menace is over. And Doctor Strange is able to float amongst the cosmos. In the spaces between spaces, the worlds between worlds, it's a weird new world they leave behind them. And the Watcher, he gives us his final speech. He says, Earth's foremost mage has passed away, leaving its astral plane unprotected by a Sorcerer Supreme. The United States of America, too, has been severely weakened by the crisis. The new dawn, which is breaking on this world, will usher in an age of vulnerability and uncertainty. Yet there is hope, too. For a world which has bred such persons as Logan, Stephen Strange, Frank Castle, is not a world to be easily crushed by the challenge it will face. I suspect it will triumph, and in the end, prove all the stronger for passing such through trials. And when and if it does, I shall be watching. He's got a little gleam in his eye.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be watching on Disney Plus.
Yeah, he's such a peeping Tom, that Watcher.
Mm-hmm.
So omnipotent.
Yeah, well, that's the issue, guys. That's our Halloween spectacular. Her spooktacular.
Da, 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 spooktacular. That was great. That was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love these wacky issues.
Yeah. It was good. What If is a fun universe. And I love the animated series, and I can't wait for the second version and the Marvel Zombies animated series that's coming out. That's all, you know, through this world. So I love it. X Reads is recorded in the United States. Our theme music is provided by Hook Sounds. Please make sure to subscribe to our podcast, be updated when new episodes appear every first and third Wednesday of the month. Follow us on social media at X Reads Podcast. That's the letter X, R-E-A-D-S Podcast, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.